Welcome to Ringside with Arif Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am, of course, Arif Dean here, your Colorado Avalanche beat reporter for ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Podcaster here at Mile High Sports, coming to you Wednesday, January 15th, coming off a day where the Avalanche and the New York Rangers played a game at Ball Arena, and both head coaches and both rosters went home pissed. So that's where we're at. The Avalanche pulled off another late comeback. Obviously, it was exciting there at the end. They pulled their goalie, and it seemed like it was an automatic. Like, it happened really quickly. They pulled their goalie. They got the 6-on-5 attack, and then they, cycled the puck really well. They looked really good on that man advantage, the 6-on-5 advantage, obviously, after looking uninspiring on the power play all day. And they cycle it down to, I believe, MacKinnon sets up Mikko Rantanen, and for the one-timer, he shoots it. Shesterkin tries to hold the rebound and can't. Comes out to Arturi Lehkonen, and he taps it in the goal, loses his mind. You get to overtime, and then the Mackenzie Blackwood show, which was already a thing during regulation. Like, he was unbelievable. He was spectacular all game. In a game where I thought Scott Wedgwood should get the start, boy, was I wrong. I just hope, in hindsight, that Blackwood doesn't end up getting overplayed here too much. Something I talked about in length in the last episode. But you get to overtime. Mikko Rantanen gets called for interference. Kind of a weak call there. But Parker Kelly, Devon Taves, and Cale Makar, I'm pretty sure, were the three penalty killers. And for about a minute and a half, they couldn't touch the puck. They couldn't possess the puck. Obviously, a 4-on-3 power play becomes a lot harder to kill off than a 5-on-4. And then they get through it. You get a couple of big saves there for Mackenzie Blackwood. The Avalanche come out of the box 4-on-4. A little bit after that, Zibanejad comes in on the breakaway, stonewalled by Blackwood. Wow. And then he throws the puck to the corner just as the whistle blew. He had a little bit of swagger to it. Come back to the next shift. Logan O'Connor, hard working shift, steals the puck behind the net, gives it to Nathan MacKinnon, who jumps off the bench. He's got a look at the shot, but he opts to send it to Devon Taves. One-timer from the circle, beats Shesterkin 5-hole. The Avalanche win 3-2. So all of that excitement that I just explained happened in about 9 or 10 minutes in real time, I want to say, between the game tying goal, the end of regulation, start of overtime, penalty on Mikko, successful PK, Blackwood saves Zibanejad on the breakaway, and then, of course, the game-winning goal in OT by Devon Taves with about 36 seconds left, I believe, was the time on the clock when Taser scored that goal, his second overtime winner of the calendar year, fifth of his career. Second in 2 weeks, to be exact. All of that happened, maybe 9 or 10 minutes is a little bit low. All of that happened in about maybe 14 to 16 minutes of time, real time. But everything before that was frustrating. Everything before that was a Colorado Avalanche team that looked uninspiring on the power play. A Colorado Avalanche team that gave up 5, 6, 7 breakaways, including that one to Zibanejad in overtime. A Colorado Avalanche team that their second line center doesn't know what the hell's going on anymore, and he's getting demoted to the fourth line. The dude can't catch a break. A Colorado Avalanche team that has blended the lines, rightfully so, because of the lack of urgency from some of these guys to get it going. And a Colorado Avalanche team being carried by Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, and Mikko Rantanen, even though some of them didn't have a great night yesterday, along with the line of Parker Kelly, Joel Kiviranta, and Logan O'Connor. And it reminds me of last season when the second line was giving you nothing and you were relying on the Roaring 20s or whatever the hell they were called, the Wood Colton O'Connor line, and whoever plays with Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. That's where they're at right now. I do want to give a little bit of flowers to Juuso Parsonen. He looked pretty decent, but a lot of guys had tough nights. Jason Poulin, Yuri Inala, irrelevant. Again and again and again, the Avalanche call up these guys from the American Hockey League just to play them and just to get absolutely nothing out of them. Ultimately, what they are guys that can jump over the boards to give the 6 or 7 forwards that you do trust a breather. Because if it wasn't for that, if there was no such thing as conditioning and no such thing as needing to get your energy back, and if this was an EA Sports game where none of that crap mattered, the Avs would be better off dressing 10 forwards every night. They get nothing out of the guys from the American Hockey League, and it's unfortunate, again, that they've had to rely on these guys so many times. Right now, they're missing Miles Wood. They're missing Val Nichushkin. Obviously, they're missing Gabe Landeskog. Ivan, but even him, as Jared Bednar said at practice today, he'll get called up determining. Him getting called up will be determined by his play. If you guys remember, Ivan had a pretty good start to the regular season, but he fell off a cliff before that injury. I remember when he got injured, I was curious if he would be healthy scratched after Parsonen was brought in and all these guys were getting healthy. But for a guy who had 5 goals and 3 assists, 8 points in 37 games, let's see. November 25th against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which was the game where the Avalanche got their asses kicked, he had both of those irrelevant goals. Before that game, he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games without a point. And then he had an assist against Florida, the 2 goals against Tampa, and then he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 games with goose eggs. 0 points. So 22 of his last 24 games, he's had 0 points. 1 goal, 3 assists in his last 24 games. 5 points in his first 13 games. 3 in his last 24. So even Ivan, I wouldn't consider him the kind of guy that's like, oh yeah, when he gets back. That's someone that, like Poland, like Inala, has ultimately played his way back into the rotation of, we'll call you up when you deserve it. And when you do deserve it, let's hope you can give us something, because if you don't, you're going to play 4 to 5 minutes. So, of course, the Avs are missing Nichushkin. They're missing Wood. Obviously, you can count Landeskog in there too. But then beyond that, I mean, obviously, they're missing Shillington and Girard as well. Girard should and could be back on Thursday. But I'm talking about the forwards here. Beyond that, Casey Mittelstadt's struggling, and he's struggling hard. Ross Colton didn't have a great game. I mean, MacKinnon and Rantanen were just okay. Like, they weren't world beaters by any means. So you're not getting a lot of production from a lot of guys. What Jared Bednar said post-game was very spot on to how that game went. It was, we see this about once a year with the head coach, where he comes into his post-game presser and sounds like they lost when they really didn't. Because he was not happy with how that game shook out. He was not happy with how that game played out. So, a couple things. On Blackwood, he said, and this is Bednar, quote, "He was fantastic. He was the best player on the ice for either team. We get 0 points if he's not the best player on the ice." And he is absolutely correct. He also said, "We had some guys that had to have monster efforts just to stay in the game." Another part of his quote, "The problem with tonight is we're relying on the same 8 or 9 guys to do everything. Power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5. Later on, it's because we had too many passengers." And I remember talking to Peter Ball post-game, which it was so wonderful to see him again. Went out for lunch with him, got to hang out with him between morning skate and the game, obviously sitting in the press box, post-game, writing, hanging out after the game as well. Wonderful dude. Always nice to see him back in Denver. But Peter post-game was saying, when I referenced that quote that, woof, we have to rely on the same 8 or 9 guys, he goes, yeah, half the team is injured, and they that's just how it is. Like, none of the call-ups are. I'm like, Peter, that's not what he was referring to. And Peter took a pause and was like, oh, wait, you're right. Because he's talking about the defensemen too. He's talking about, out of the 18 skaters, he probably had 8 or 9 guys that he could rely on. And that was about it. And when you look at the ice time, you can kind of figure out where he was going with this. Nathan MacKinnon played 25:07. That's always going to be the case with him. The reality of the Avalanche roster is, even when MacKinnon's not having a great night, you got to play the shit out of him because you hope that he can figure it out. And you know what? He had a couple of assists. He set up Mikko Rantanen for the one-timer that led to the Lehkonen rebound tying goal. And then he set up Devon Taves for the one timer that was the game winning goal. And this was after a game where Nathan MacKinnon was just okay. You know, he was flying for the first 7 or 8 minutes. Then Makar has that mishap at the blue line. Makar didn't have all that good of a night either. Makar has that mishap at the blue line. The puck goes the other way, shorthanded goal from Sam Carrick. And then the Avalanche just lost everything. They had, I think it was 8 shots from that point until the end of the second period, which was, in, if the math is mathing, about 28 or 29 minutes of play time, of game time. They had 8 shots. It was pretty spectacular to see how it unfolded. So Nathan MacKinnon plays 25:07. You get 22 minutes and 27 seconds out of Mikko Rantanen, but he's not playing the most. He's not second most. Playing above him was Arturi Lehkonen at 24:41. Then you have Jonathan Drouin at 22:53. So those are your top four forwards. MacKinnon, Drouin, Lehkonen, and Rantanen. Rounding out your top six, if you were healthy, would be Val Nichushkin, who's obviously injured. You're hoping to get back soon. And Casey Mittelstadt, who's just been mired in unbelievably terrible hockey for the last 2.5 months. Coming up after that, your third line. This is the line that earns its ice time. It's Joel Kiviranta, 13 minutes and 33 seconds, which includes 1.5 minutes of PK. It's Parker Kelly, 16:42, which includes a whopper, 4:36 on the PK. It's Logan O'Connor, 18 minutes and 41 seconds. Could not be more deserved. Like, he earned every little bit of that ice time. And he played even more than Parker Kelly on the PK. 4 minutes, 44 seconds. In fact, the only person to play more than him was Devon Taves at 4:49. So just an unbelievable lack of production there coming from some of these guys. Juuso Pärssinen, he played 9:58. I thought he looked okay. Casey Mittelstadt, of course, like I said. I think I've counted every forward now other than the fourth line. And when I say fourth line, I mean the fourth line at practice today. Casey Mittelstadt between Inala and Polin. On defense, my goodness, Manson and Middleton, that's a pairing that should never happen again. You obviously had Taves 30 minutes and 49 seconds. He has figured everything out about that injury that was hurting him beginning of the season. Offensive production, 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points in his last 8 games, +9. His defensive metrics look well. His analytics look good. And of course, Cale Makar, 28 minutes and 13 seconds. He was okay. Obviously, he had that bad turnover there. I missed one forward. Ross Colton played 14:08. So you can start to see where Jared Bednar was and was not happy with his forward group. Calvin DeHaan, 17:41. Just a whole lot of nothing. Sam Malinsky, goodness gracious, he had a terrible game, and it shows in his ice time. 10 minutes, 47 seconds, almost 3 minutes less. Sorry, almost 4 minutes less, 3.5 less than Keaton Middleton, who did not look that good to me. So Bednar wasn't happy. He was happy with a couple of guys, and obviously it's the Mackenzie Blackwood, top of the list. 27 saves, continues his streak of 2 or fewer goals against, by the way. 12 games down that Mackenzie Blackwood has played for the Colorado Avalanche, has never given up more than 2 goals. He's also never given up less than 1, so it's been 1 or 2 every game. Adam Edstrom made it 2-1 for the Rangers at the halfway mark. I think it was 10:01, so it was a second beyond the halfway mark. And he didn't let in a goal the rest of the way. And that includes a power play in overtime for a full 2 minutes for the New York Rangers. Blackwood said, 2's the limit. You score 3, you win. I said it on the last show. When you got Blackwood in goal, get to 3 goals. Unfortunately for the Avalanche, they've been having trouble with that. They couldn't score against the Winnipeg Jets. They could only get 1 unassisted, beautiful, single goal from Juuso Pärssinen against the Chicago Blackhawks, they scored a shitload on the Minnesota Wild, who was missing half their guys. And then that's all in those games you lost both. And you know, Trent Miner started the one against Chicago, but against Winnipeg, you lost 3-0. One of them was an empty netter. Blackwood scored 2. You needed to get to 3. Against the Rangers, it needed overtime. Against the Rangers, it needed a 6-on-5 attack just to get the second goal. So where do we go from here? We go to today's practice. Obviously, there's going to be some changes, and it sounded like Sam Girard could be an option tomorrow. Jared Bednar said as much. But something's going on here with Casey Mittelstadt, and it's not good. The line combinations at practice today: Lehkonen, McKinnon, Drouin. So now you have Rantanen and McKinnon split up. But it's so that Rantanen can center the frickin' second line. This was a line I saw yesterday a couple times, and I said, okay, Mikko's playing center now between LOC and Kiviranta. So Parker Kelly, who built all that chemistry, he gets Ross Colton and Juuso Parsonen. Like, at least if Parsonen and Colton were with Rantanen, it would make some sense to say, hey, any of those guys can play center. But Bednar is sending messages up and down the lineup. Like, the only person here that he probably has to pull aside and say, hey, I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with like some of these changes because you don't deserve it, is Parker Kelly. But LOC and Kiviranta, he's giving them Mikko Rantanen. He's saying, you guys earned this. Even though he's giving them Rantanen at center. But he's saying, hey, you guys earned this. You guys earned second line rotation with a superstar. Colton and Parsonen, he's saying to them, we're not going to use you guys in the top six right now. We're going to use Kiviranta and LOC. And Casey Mittelstadt, playing with Inala and Polin, he's basically the 10th best forward out of the 10 forwards that should be in the NHL. So there's another message to him. Yesterday, Mittelstadt started with Mikko, and it barely lasted before he was on that fourth line. And obviously, like I said, 64 minutes and 24 seconds, regulation plus OT, Mittelstadt played 12:55. What I saw from the defense yesterday, going back to, you know, some of those guys and the tough game that there was there, it was another sign of just how much we truly underappreciate Samuel Girard. I see it all the time, trade Girard, and I think it would be a massive mistake to trade Samuel Girard. I would trade Josh Manson before I trade Sam Girard. And the crazy part is, after this season, Girard still has 2 more years, not 1, 2 more years making $5 million, which in this NHL, for the minutes he plays, for the game he plays, is a hell of a value pick. Oh, and by the way, when his contract expires, he'll only be 29. He's only 26 now. God, this guy's been in the NHL forever. So I would love to see him back in the lineup. He would help the Avalanche immensely. A couple more things I want to touch on. So that's it for the, you know, the game recap and looking ahead. You know, the lines are going to look a little wonky. The Avalanche have a big game here against the Edmonton Oilers before the 3 division rival games. Huge homestand all in all. If they can get through this, it would be pretty big. Couple more things I want to get into. I wrote that article, you guys saw it, about TVA Sports, the rumor and their speculation that the Avalanche will trade Rantanen. I call bullshit. The reality is, it is a rarity when superstars end up walking in free agency. You know, we saw it with Alex Pietrangelo in St. Louis. I like to use that one as an example instead of Stamkos, because with Stamkos, like, you can tell from the beginning, Tampa wasn't going to sign this guy. They didn't want him. They wanted to move on, and they were trying to find a way to make it look like it wasn't them just blackballing him or kicking him to the curb. But ultimately, they wanted to move on. They wanted a younger person like Jake Gensel, and that's what they did. But I don't like to use that one as an example. I like to use Alex Pietrangelo, because Pietrangelo actually had legitimate conversations to the very end with the St. Louis Blues. They wouldn't budge on the no trade clause thing. They eventually did that for other players, but they lost him for no good reason. And he ended up walking to free agency and, of course, signs with the Vegas Golden Knights, where he wins another Stanley Cup. So that's the rarity. But the damn near impossible, you never see it, doesn't happen scenario, or the thing that you never see, is the player who plays for a cup contender, you know, like Pietrangelo when the Blues were in the playoffs all those years, like Steven Stamkos with the Tampa Bay Lightning, like Jonathan Marchessault with Vegas Golden Knights, those guys don't get traded at the trade deadline. They are more valuable to your team as an asset for the playoff run than they are as, oh, we got to recoup draft picks. And any comment for my readers at Colorado Hockey Now, any comment saying trade Rantanen now to recoup some assets, that's just not a reality. You play Mikko Rantanen, you see him put up 105, potentially more points this season, and you hope to God you figure it out before July 1st, because most of the time these teams do, especially with players that have good relationships with teams, like we saw with Gabe Landeskog a couple years ago. And by a couple years ago, I mean now 4 years ago in 2021, where he signed his 8-year contract extension like right up to the deadline by minutes of when he's allowed to sign an 8-year deal before the opening of free agency. And he did it that night. So that's ultimately the norm that we usually see. So I call bullshit on the fact that the Avalanche would trade Mikko at the trade deadline of a season where they're looking like, obviously there's some issues with the team right now here in the last few games, but it's a team that's starting to put it all together. They're not about to throw that all away. It's not going to happen. I still think Mikko signs, but to have a report out there that, like, the doubling down of a reporter at TVA Sports to say they're going to trade him is outlandish, and it's outrageous. So that's the first thing I wanted to touch on. Second thing, Gabe Landeskog skated again. You guys saw the video that I posted. He looked pretty good. And we talk about this every episode, and we've done these hypothetical scenarios for the last 36 months, almost 30 months more like. And I don't want to beat it too far into the ground, but he looked good. He said last year in May, he said 8 months ago that he wants to play between September and April. It's January, it's not April. Fingers crossed for Gabe Landeskog, but obviously no movement there, no updates there. Just hoping for the best for a guy who's busting his ass off to get back to hockey. The Avalanche had too many passengers against the Rangers. You better hope to God they don't do that against the Oilers, because after that, you got Dallas, Minnesota, and Winnipeg, and those are some big games. But on that note, if you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone. Talk to you guys over the weekend. We out, Joe.